Well, we thank the Lord. It's good to see you all again. Good to be home, but I haven't been home to the house. But it's good to be back. But I have been very challenged with some scriptures. I'd like to pass it on to you this morning. I hope it will be a challenge to you as well. I'd like to look in Matthew, the 19th chapter, and the 16th verse. We'll start there. Matthew 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. For he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Now, this scripture says that he was a rich young ruler? He was a young man. The last verse there towards the end, it said that he had great possessions, meaning that he was well-to-do. But he came to Jesus asking, What do I lack? What must I do to have eternal life? So there was something inside of him. There was a need there that he recognized that maybe something is not quite complete. And he asked the question, I've done these commandments, I've kept this from my youth up. He lived a good life. If we were looking on him, we'd probably think that he was heaven bound. He lived a good life. But there was one thing that was missing that was the most important thing of all, and that was his heart. The most important ingredient. You know, in recipes, there's everything goes in together to make something, but there are some there are some ingredients you dare not leave out. And his heart, he went away sorrowful. He turned away and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, I take this as a warning, these scriptures, to all of us, because we live in a prosperous society. You know, we may think that we're not very rich. I don't think I'm rich. Financially, I'm not. But when I compare myself to a lot of the world's population, I live very comfortably. And those things make it harder. It's not impossible that a rich man can't be saved, but it's very difficult. I want us to get the importance of what Jesus is saying here. It's very difficult. It's a snare. It's a... with God, everything's possible. Lord, help us not to leave our heart out of living for God. He wants our heart. One verse says, "My son, give me thine heart." And we know it's not the pumper right here. It's our affections. It's the things that we value in life. It's the things that we put great emphasis on, that we look to for fulfillment. And this man, it said that he went away sorrowful, and Jesus explained how hardly it will be for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Our affections, we have a choice in life. It's not, our affections are not just a no control, random thing. But we can set our heart on things. We open our heart up to things. It's a choice. It's choices and decisions that we make. And the Lord has to have our heart. If He doesn't have the heart, we're missing the most important ingredient in the thing. And I think about, I was challenged by the different... You remember when the lady came to Jesus and she, was it Mary, where she broke the alabaster box of ointment, expensive perfume, the odor filled the house, and the disciples, Judas was the main one, murmured and complained. What a waste. This could have been sold in, and we could have done a lot for the poor. You know, I thought about all these scenarios. Jesus had to fight against false things all of his life. Excuse me. This is a situation that happened. They were in the house. She came in and broke the ointment and began to anoint the Lord. And these grown men, they were complaining. But it said Judas made that statement. And it says, not that he cared for the poor, but he was a thief. It said Judas was a thief. He kept the bag. I thought, what a contrast. This woman came bringing her heart, pouring it out before God. And there were people there complaining. And where was their heart? Wasn't being poured out to the Lord. Judas had made some choices. He'd made some decisions. His affection, his heart was going towards the material things of life. That's what he was looking to for his fulfillment, for his satisfaction. That was the driving thing that caused him to say what he said. And Jesus fought against false identities, false things that were false and fake. Jesus had to fight against all of those things. But her heart was to please and honor her Lord. She had a good heart. She had a heart that was reaching out for God and looking to God. There's another account I'd like to get in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and the 15th verse. Looking diligently, Hebrews 12 and 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. It's talking about Esau. And Esau, you remember how he got hungry and thought he was about to die. And his brother made him a meal. On condition, he said, if you sell me your birthright. And this scripture calls Esau, it says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. Esau did not value his birthright. It wasn't his treasure. It wasn't what he was delighting in. It wasn't something that he was looking forward to. It was just something that he had. and he sold it. And the challenge here, he said, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, that we sell things that the Lord has given to us or revealed to us for the things of this world, for the temporal things of life, for the riches, for the entertainments of this world, the things that draw and attract. We sell out. It was because he didn't value, he didn't treasure, his heart wasn't in it. In Matthew 6:19, it says, where a man's treasure is, there will be his heart also. Where his treasure is. What do we treasure today? What do we value in our lives? What means the most to us? It's very important to serve the Lord this morning with our heart, to put our heart, to invest our heart into. And I thought about, you remember the Pharisees? It talked about the Pharisees and it said they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. Their heart, what their heart was set upon, what their heart kept them from seeing the Lord for who He was. They loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. Lord, help us today. I put myself in that young man's place. If I had great possessions and the Lord came to me and spoke those words, what would I have done? It'd been hard. It was hard. He didn't pass the test. He went away sorrowful. You know, they have the statement where the rubber meets the road. You've heard that. Let's call it a Holy Spirit audit. You know, when they do an audit, we've had people at our house that, I don't make enough to be audited, but I think it was the insurance auditor. But they want to see it all. They want to see your bank records. They want to see your checkbook. We don't use checkbooks a whole lot anymore. I still use some on occasion. But if someone was to come in and do an audit on our life, on our bank statement, and they looked at all of our expenditures, where all of our money was going, could they say that this person loves the Lord? His check register shows it. If we had a time register where we spend all of our time and they were able to look it over, would they say, this person loves the Lord? The attention in our minds, the thoughts that we have throughout the day, if it could be registered and logged, somebody could look at it. The Holy Spirit does look at it. And at the end of time, we will. It'll all be opened. It will be just like an audit. I mean, it will be, there's no, I can't provide that bank statement because it's missing. They'll say, get it. That's the way it's going to be at the end of time. We can't give the Lord and say, here, you can look at these, but not these. The books are going to be open. It's all going to be seen. Our thoughts. How much of God is in our thoughts throughout the day, throughout the weeks, the thoughts of praying and communing with God, studying the Word, the time, the attention. Could somebody look at our records and say, this person, they love the Lord. They're thinking often the Lord's there in their mind. Lord, help us today. To me, there is, and I thought about Jesus, how He was in such love with His Heavenly Father, and this was really challenging, that He didn't allow things to distract Him from His purpose and mission. He didn't allow things to distract Him. I feel like, Lord help me, I've been too distracted at times. Jesus kept His eye on His Father's will and fulfilling His Father's will. He didn't get distracted with unnecessary things. And there was a creativity that came out of Jesus' life because of His connection with His Father. The inspiration. They said no man ever spake like this man. And Jesus said, it's not my words, it's the Father, the words living in me. It's the Father doing the work through me. It's not me. But it was His connection. His heart was so in love with His Heavenly Father that words of life came out of His being. There was a creativity there. And I think about sometimes if we lose our heart. When a person loses their heart for their marriage, what happens? Boom, goes downhill. You can lose your heart for your marriage. It's happened. People have happened that were madly in love at one point. But then they can't even hardly stand to sit to look at each other. Something happened that changed that. And it's something that we have to guard. He said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Lord, help us to watch and guard our hearts. We sing that song that says, are we bringing the gift of true love? Are we honoring Jesus? And I want to read one more scripture, Revelations 2:4. This has always been such a challenge to me. Revelations 2:1. It says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. What a great list. How commendable. How wonderful. But one thing was lacking. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. They had fallen into a form. They had fallen into a routine. It was all right. And they were... But they lost their heart out of it. You know, we sang that song this morning, Revive Us Again. Revive our love. Renew our love for you. You remember how it was when you first got saved and couldn't keep you out of the chapel doors? You wanted to be there. You wanted to hear the word. You wanted to drink it in, every word. But after a while, he said they hadn't fallen in all of the other things that they were doing. But he says here, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. They lost their love. They lost their... the real reason why they should have been doing what they were doing. And when we lose our love, we lose our creativity. We lose God being able to work through us like He would like to work. Another place He said, they come to Me as My people cometh, but their heart is far off from Me. I'm not trying to discourage anybody this morning. I felt challenged with these scriptures. I believe the Lord can renew. If we set, He said, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. The Lord can renew and restore. And at one place He talked about abide in Me and I in you. And I feel like that's a big part of our abiding, is to love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our strength, all of our soul, and all of our mind. He listed it all, our mind. The Lord can renew that. He can renew if we are not as fervent in our love as we should. The Lord can renew that in our lives if we'll pray and ask Him. I think we've all probably have been there before, maybe several times before. But the Lord can rekindle that flame, just like He can in a marriage. He can rekindle that flame. You know, love is what makes life worthwhile, isn't it? It's not the routine. It's not just the, in fact, it seems like sometimes the routine is what kind of robs us of love. But putting forth that extra effort to love, to be loved. I'm thankful that God is love this morning. And if we put Him, it's not like the Lord is trying to make life hard or miserable or difficult for us. But if we put Him first and we love Him, then He is able to live creatively through our lives. He's able to love others through us. But if our love is diminished for the things of God and we don't really have that earnest desire to want to walk with the Lord and to know Him and to spend time in His presence, to be with Him, then it hinders what He wants to do in us. Let's value our relationship with God above everything else in this life. Enjoy the Lord. You know, Adam and Eve, they enjoyed, I believe, before they sinned, they enjoyed the Lord. They enjoyed His presence. When they sinned, they didn't enjoy His presence anymore. They were hiding. They were guilty. They felt the Lord wants us to enjoy Him. It's not all about just working and straining and laboring and like all these people they were doing. The Lord commended them. But one thing was missing. And we don't want that way with us. We want to have that main ingredient working in our hearts and lives. Appreciate your attention this morning.